How's everybody today? Good? I don't know. I got hot, so I turned the fans on. Hopefully, if you... Oh, good. Good. Hey, feel free to open the window, too. Whew. I cannot believe it's almost November, and it's like so warm out. But hey, wait till Tuesday. I heard it's coming in. So if you need a Bible this morning, there's one in the back. Feel free to grab it. Feel free to keep it if you don't have one. It's yours. So, you know, we believe that salvation isn't based on the works of man, yeah? So today we're going to talk about the works of man. So it might sound like I'm contradicting myself today, but we'll get into it. So open up to the book of Philippians. Remember, Philippians, we're going to go over this every single Sunday that we talk about. Chapter 1 is Paul's circumstances. He's in a Roman prison. He's trapped. He's not praying for escape. He's making the most of his opportunity. He is growing where he is planted. He is using the opportunity of being chained to the Roman guards to not only minister to them, to present the gospel to them, but also to anybody that comes and visits him. And also he's using this time to write these letters, which we are reading today. Chapter 2 is all about the mind of Christ. And that's where we are today. We are supposed to have the mind of Christ. What does that look like? Chapter 3 is that we should know him, how to know God. If you want to know how to know God, then we look at chapter 3. And then chapter 4, we take all of that, Paul's circumstance, the mind of Christ, knowing God, and then chapter 4 is we apply it to our circumstance. And that's the basic outline of Philippians. And by the time we get through it, hopefully through this repetitive pattern every Sunday, you guys will be like, yeah, I know Philippians. At least I know the general gists of each chapter. So today, we're going to pick it up. We go verse by verse, book by book, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12. So if you would read with me, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that you may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I, being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. All right, so we see here lots of things to do. Now, it might be a little bit confusing because we start off with, hey, works don't matter for your salvation. This is always a tough question to kind of sort out in your mind. I mean, God did everything, but aren't I called to do something, to be obedient, to follow commandments? Don't I have to do something? And the answer is yes, but it's all the perspective as to why you're doing something. If you're doing something to earn favor from God, then no, that doesn't count because you've earned favor from God through the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid it. He fulfilled the law, which you and I can't fulfill. We can't possibly do it. And if you think you can, oh, I'm a good person, well, just think through your life a little bit. And we all fall short of the glory of God. Nothing wrong with that. Well, there's a lot wrong with it. But what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with it because we're all in the same boat. There's nobody here that's better than anybody else. We're all in the same situation. And that's what makes the gospel so glorious because he paid it all. He paid it for me. He paid it for you. And he took care of all the legal requirements that is required of man to enter into heaven. We are clothed with his righteousness, not ours. And that's what the gospel is. That's why the gospel is another word for good news, because that's good news this morning. Because if you're like me, you probably have already messed up and sinned this morning, right? It's like, what the heck? I just can't seem to get this right. Like Paul will say in Romans, the things that I want to do, man, I can't do it. The things I don't want to do, I'm doing them all the time. And he says, oh, wretched soul that I am, who shall save me? And then luckily we get into Romans chapter 8 and we talk about, well, it's the Spirit, it's God that saves you. He's the one that does the work. So we need to keep that in mind today as we talk about the other side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is, yeah, we do have some works to do, but it's not to gain favor. It's not to gain our salvation into heaven. We have works to do because of who we are, because we're a new creation. And if you understand that we are the body of Christ, that the church is the new physical body of Christ on earth, then guess what, gang? We should look like Christ, yeah? In fact, that's what the term Christian is. It's Christ-like. And so we ask ourselves, do I look like Christ? And the obvious answer is, well, you just said none are perfect. Yeah, absolutely. But that doesn't mean we just throw everything out and go, you know what? Whatever. Oh, wretched sinner that I am. Forget it. There's no hope for me. No, because as we're going to read today, we are to still strive for the righteousness that we are to, at the end there, verse 18, display to the world. So that what we say to the world doesn't return void or useless. And so let's dive into that today, and hopefully we have good understanding and we can rightly divide the two of those. Understanding that it's only through Jesus Christ that I enter into heaven. His works fulfilled it all. But I still have a work to do. Okay? So it starts off there in verse 12. Therefore. Now, whenever you see that word therefore, it's therefore because of what was listed above. So he's talking about humbling himself. Remember last week that we esteem others, that we don't get big-headed and think that we're better than anybody else, that we look out not only for our own interests, but we look out for the interests of other people. First and foremost, that's what the church should be, talking about church community there. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so Paul is telling the church of Philippi, you're doing a pretty good obeying the word of God, okay? He says, and you don't only do it in my presence. Now, that's a great little question for you. Do you look one way at church or around church people? Or is the way you look around church and the church people the way you look every other day around anybody else? Do you put on a different hat when you go to work and talk like the boys and act like, you know, everybody else? Because, you know, you got to fit in. Do you do that? Do you put on different hats, or are you consistent? Because you see, being a Christian isn't the face you put on, right? The word hypocrite is actor. And so I don't put on a different face depending on which crowd I'm with, right? You see me this way at church, guess what? You'll see me this way no matter how you see me in life, no matter where we're at, right? I don't change me to fit whatever group I'm with. So that's a great question. Do you do that? Well, I'm at church, so I got to act a certain way. I'm over at so-and-so's house that's from the church, and I act a certain way. Or somebody says, I'm a Christian, and you're like, oh, I better watch myself. But you know, when I'm at work, or when I'm with my family, or when I'm with the neighborhood, or when I, do I act like them because I don't want to feel, or I don't want to present that I'm the weird one? You see, being a Christian, really, you're born again. You are changed. Understand that. Understand that when you receive Jesus Christ, day one of eternity, for you started right then and there. So whenever you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are already in that present state. The only thing is you have the physical body yet, which is still full of sin. That's why I can't even say it right now. the less... I think I need more caffeine. Thessalonians. You know what happens? Thessalonians says that, you know, those who have died, right, the body is put into the ground, and they will reap a new body. And then those that are still alive in Christ, right, they'll be caught up, and in the transfer from the earth into the presence of the Lord, their body is changed. So the only thing we've got right now, even though we are now citizens of heaven, we are already in eternity, spiritually speaking, is that we've got this flesh still attached to us. But there'll be a day where there'll be a falling away of that flesh. But understand, who you are in heaven is who you are right now. That's a big thing to kind of grasp this morning. The question is, are you living as such? Are you living as such right now? Are you living as the physical body of Christ? Are you doing it? Yes, you have been fully equipped. The Bible tells you the Holy Spirit has fully equipped you for everything that you need to do here. So are you embracing that? Are you doing that? And if not, here's where we go. He says we have to work things out. Paul there in 12 says, great, you're being obedient in my presence, but also away, right? We just talked about that. Are you the same here as you are at work? Then he says, work out your own salvation. This is huge, okay? Now, understand what I said. Salvation comes through the believing and the receiving of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believing and receiving that he took the punishment of God for your sins in your place. He hung upon the cross. The wages of sin are death. Separation, both physically and spiritually. He was separated from God upon that cross on your behalf. Then he was placed into the earth, into the tomb, and on the third day he rose again, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. All of that stuff is him proceeding and making a way for us. And when we believe that he did this on our behalf, we receive his righteousness, and we will also be received into heaven likewise. That's the gospel. So that part, the only thing you have to do is receive it and believe it. But there's a problem with this, because do you feel that way today? Do you feel like you were saved today? Or that in that moment when you sinned? I don't feel saved. And the enemy comes in and says, yeah, you're not really saved. Look at you. And then your spouse joins in. Yeah, I don't think you're saved. Then the community joins in. Yeah, I don't think you're saved. You call yourself the battle happens, right? And that's the problem with the flesh. So we have to work this out. And I'm going to tell you, I can't work it out for you. Somebody else can't work it out for you. Guys, you have to work this out. You have to struggle with this. You have to understand that yes, I'm going to fall down. Yes, I'm going to sin. But what do I do in response of that? Do I try to repent? Repent means turn the other direction, go the other way. Or do I continue in that path? You have to work this out. And that's what Paul is saying, that we have to do this on an individual basis. We cannot do this for you. Sometimes when people come and they say, hey, I've got all these questions, can you help me work this out? And there may be a point where I say, you got to wrestle this one. You got to go to the mountain and wrestle with God on this one. And he might touch your hip, and you might have a little limp afterwards. Sound familiar? But it's something you have to do. This point is clear. God does the saving, but after a person is saved by God, you must get busy now working out your salvation. So, if you are a new creation, if you are a citizen of heaven, if you are called to be the king and priest of your house, if you are called to be the body of Christ, which we all are called to be, I need to work out the things in my life so that I fit that description. You understand where I'm going with this? This is a process that will continue to happen until you take your last breath here on earth. We also call it sanctification. Sanctification. You see, you're called to be separate from the earth. You're called to be different from the earth. Do you look different than the people of the earth? Great question, right? If you were in court being accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove you wrong? I think C.S. Lewis liked to point that out. Would there be enough evidence that you would be found guilty? Yes, you're a Christian. Well, I go to church on Sunday. Okay, great. Are you just putting on that mask for that, you know, I don't want to say hour you're at church because we're here a little longer than that. But are you? Or can we see it in your life? Okay, this is what it means to work this out. That you have to still work with God. Now, the good news is, later on in Philippians, we're going to be told that we can do all this through Jesus who strengthens us. Right, so he doesn't leave you powerless. He doesn't drop you off in the mountains and say, hey, figure it out. Because he's there with you, right? We are empowered with the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. This is the plan. So when you read the Bible and you come across something, right, 2 Timothy 2:15, 1 Timothy 3:16, right, those two verses that say, hey, the Word of God is profitable for all of these things, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. So when I read the Bible and go, man, I'm not, that doesn't fit me, I've got some work to do. And that's what it's talking about, working out your salvation. And I can tell you that previous to this, Paul is saying, hey, listen, you're obeying God. Like, look at the context there in verse 12. He ended with this, but before that, he says, the church of Philippians, you're a good example. You're always obeying God, not only when I'm there in front of you, but when I'm away. Now he's facing death, and he wanted them to continue in their working out of their salvation by obeying God until they take their last breath. Okay, so that's a hard thing to do. Now, verse 13 also helps us with this because it says, it's really God who in you works. Okay, so understand, this is a hard thing to grasp. It's a hard thing to balance because it's like, how much of it is me? How much effort do I put in versus how much of it is God? And I'll tell you this, I'll make it really easy. You do your part, and God will do his. You do your part, and he'll do his. The most important thing to allow God to work in your life is to be willing and be available. God, I ain't got time for you. It's hard for God to work in your life when you don't have time for God. When you're resisting God, God says, hey, we got some work to do. Got some things to work out in you. And you're like, no, 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 God, I got this. It's hard for God to work. So how do you let God work in your life? By being willing and available. Let me tell you, church, the most dangerous thing in the world for us is familiarity. Okay? I'm telling you. Okay? When we say, hey, we got this verse, or hey, we're doing this study, and you say, I'm good. I've already done that. You're not being willing and you're not being available, because you know what? The Word of God is living. It'll speak to you today differently than perhaps it spoke to you 3 years ago when you did that study. So you got to be willing and available and have the appetite for God. That's what being willing and available is. We're told those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in Matthew, they shall be filled. And the filling of that is the filling according to your appetite. That's what that word means. So that means, hey, if you got a little appetite, God's going to give you a little filling. If you got a big old appetite like me, I require a lot. Right? Heidi's like, are you done yet? I'm just getting started. So as I hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, the more I hunger and he fills me, the more I hunger. Right? You all get the visual picture of your stomach expanding, right? In fact, a lot of weight loss things are shrinking the stomach. I just can't eat anymore. That's not how it works with God. The more you hunger and thirst, the more he gives you. So you see, the danger of familiarity. Hey, we're doing a Revelation study. Oh, I did that one. I'm going to tell you something. This trip through is like none other. None other. Because it's more relevant, because we are more in the day. John 3:16. Oh, I know that verse. Do you know it? I said this yesterday. Mike can attest. On the gun range, I said this yesterday. Do you know it or do you know it? There's a difference. There's a difference. Right, Mike? There's a difference. Do you know the Word of God or do you know the Word of God? Do you know Jesus or do you know him? Do you understand that was what the problem with Job was? Job knew God, but at the end of Job, he knew God. Right? What is knowledge? Don't answer, Mike. You guys have been here too long. You're supposed to say, knowledge is power. Knowledge is information. It's not until I take that information and I apply it to my life is knowledge. So the more I take information and the more I apply it to my life, the more I know something. The more I work out my salvation, the more I know salvation. You guys get the point? This is deep stuff. This is great. But understand that it is God. And in order for God to work in you for his good pleasure, I need to be willing and available. When you wake up in the morning, here I am, God. Commit your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your very breath to him. Use me, Lord, today as you see fit. I am here. I am available. Or are you saying, Lord, man, I got a busy day today. Please don't interrupt me. Verse 14. The second thing we are to do, the second work within our section today is to do all things, right? That's a work. I'm going to change it. I don't like that. I'm going to do some things without complaining and disputing. Is that what we say? I mean, that's what we say. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible says? How many of you guys find yourself complaining and disputing when you got to do something? Hey, Bill, I need you to go do this. Don't you dare say amen, Heidi. You need to go downstairs for a second. I do not need you to participate today. How many of us do that? How many of us? And then when we do something, how many of us complain about what we did? Well, I don't think it was effective. I shouldn't have said that. You know what we call that? What do we call that? Get off the X. That's what we call that. You know, Paul just said, be obedient. Get to work. Now, do it without complaining. You know how many times someone's asked me about something, and I say, well, the Bible says this, you know? And you're like, well, yeah, but, well, Ian, that doesn't really fit me. You're complaining. You're disputing. Hey, God says, don't do that. You shouldn't do that in your life. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. That person that I'm angry with deserves it. Okay. It's now between you and God, and I'm going to refer you back to verse 12 to work out your salvation. You guys see the flow here? It's all going to go back to verse 12. So verse 12 says, work out your own salvation, and then he's going to kind of drill down in areas that Paul knows because he's human and he's dealing with a lot of people, a lot of church members that he sees is a problem continually. And listen, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. They had it easy back then. Yeah, no, they didn't. They probably had it a lot harder than we have it. We complain a little bit now because of a little bit of uncomfortness. Right? I mean, sheesh, they didn't have keyboard warriors then to tell us online behind a screen how bad we are. No, they had people with weapons at their throat telling them, oh yeah, say that again, and it'll be your last. Paul's in jail for it. Just saying. But guys, ask yourself, do you find yourself complaining about stuff? Right? If you do, talk to Dave about cleaning a toilet one day. See what he has to tell you about that. The Bible says to do all things to the glory of God. Do all things. So I was just told to be willing and available, and God now tells me to do this, and now I'm complaining to God about being willing and available. You know what? We're like, not so, Lord. Did you know that's a contradicting statement? Because Lord is the Lord over your life. He tells you what to do. Lord, you're my Lord, but I'm not going to do that. Then I'm not your Lord, Jesus says. Out of the mouth of babes. Like, yeah, really. And here's the reason why, church. Because remember, we're putting on a different face. Verse 15 says that you're blameless and harmless. You see, the more you open your mouth, the more you're going to get yourself in trouble. That's why the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything above that, you're probably going to mess something up. But here's the thing. We need to be without fault. We are separated. We are sanctified. Yeah? Already covered that. And where are we? We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I only got one amen. Okay, let's try that again. We are in the midst of a, this is a good opportunity for you, ready? Okay. We are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Amen. Yeah. And the question is, are you shining as a light? Are you looking different? You know, right over there, I just noticed this. Everybody see that picture? The lighthouse? The lighthouse gave warning to the ships coming in, saying, hey, here's land, and here's where you need to come. In the middle of a storm, in the middle of the cloud, the rains, the winds, in the middle of the darkness of the night, that was a place that, out of chaos, the sea represents chaos, I can look and go, that's where I need to go. Church, that's what it means to be a Christian, to be the body of Christ right here, right now. You need to be the lighthouse to a dark and chaotic, perverse world, that they're looking at you and that they see not you as the light, but they see that you're the reflection of the light. So important. Now, the third one is found in verse 16. We are to hold fast the word of God. You see how this all kind of blends together? It blends together. Is the word of God important to us? Yeah, because that's one way that we know God. Right? That's one way that we know God. You see, coming here on a Sunday, hearing the word of God is only one way to know God. What are you getting? Information. The other way to know God is to see how he works in somebody else's life. We call that fellowship. Right? When I'm hanging out with somebody that's a Christian and God's, or he's telling me what God's doing in his life, I'm like, wow, I know God differently and how he works with you, in you and through you, than I would ever see in my life or through the Bible. It's different. And then the third leg of that ladder, we see, I like three-legged ladders, by the way. I know they're not as stable as four, just whatever. You can get in corners with three-legged ladders. The third leg is through serving. So as I go and serve and minister, you can take another word, replace serving with ministering, right? Jesus' physical body, what did he do? He ministered. He served. Okay? So I now get to know God differently through the act of serving than I do through the word and through fellowship. So you see, it's a three different perspective, and that's what we do here at this church. My role is to present the Word of God. Then we have other roles through fellowship. And then we offer the opportunity of serving. I guarantee you go down there and teach the kids, you're going to see the Word, you're going to see how God works, totally different than you would see it up here. Okay? Totally different. And so instead of being, oh, I'm not equipped for that, ready, available, working out the salvation, you should jump at the chance. And here's why. Because it gives you an opportunity to know God differently. Right? Paul said that Jesus said, which is not recorded in any of the Gospels, so he must have heard this from Jesus personally, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And that's knowing God through serving. Really great stuff. So this second thing, or the third thing here, is that I am hold fast. Get a grip and really know the word. The word. Now it's interesting that he uses the word of life. Because who is the word of life? John 1 tells us, then the word became flesh. So we know Jesus through the word. Okay? Through the word. That is our compass. That is our foundation. Otherwise, we can kind of get off in the weeds by thinking, oh, this is Jesus. This is God. This is God. Let's check the map. Let's check the absolute truth to see if it lines up. Yeah, those two line up, so it's the word of God. I get it. Cool. It keeps us on the same page, if you will. But now he goes, after verse 16, the word of life, and he says, so, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So when we all gather together, Paul's saying, I'm going to rejoice because I gave you the principles, I gave you the information, you worked out your own salvation, you applied it to your life, and now we're all gathered in heaven, and I look at you and I go, that's the fruit of my labor. You know what the coolest thing for me personally is? Not that we have a church full of new people. I mean, that's pretty cool. But to see some of you guys where you are today from where you were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Guess what? We're coming on 15 years ago. And looking at you going, that's pretty good. And it's nothing I did. All I did was give you the information. The change that happened in your lives is you took the information from me and you applied it. That's spiritual growth, church. And that is the coolest thing. Right? Because what do we start off with? Bill's going to work out my salvation. Bill's going to give you information. And you're going to do it. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time we have a Bible study, every time you go to any one of the other Bible studies, Dave's or Dennis's or whatever, when you leave that door, what do? Do you leave it there? Or you take it with you and go, okay, I got work to do. I got work to do. And I'll make it simple for you. Just do one thing. You know, Heidi and I used to sit down and we'd be like, okay, we got to fix our lives. And she'd get out the pen and the paper. And we start writing. And then all of a sudden we're like, we got like 10 pages, double-sided, six-point font. Do you think anything got done? We were overwhelmed. Hey, let's just take one thing. And let's just do that. Think about this. If you improve something in your life by a simple 1% every day, over the course of the year, you've improved that 365%. Man, that's mind-blowing, right? If you started today just reading the Bible a little bit today, think about that. Just 1%, little bit, over the course of a year, how much different your life would look. Think about this right now. What do you wish you would have started a year ago from now? Oh, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have changed my eating habits. I wish I would have started maybe walking, exercising, whatever it is. Started this, started that. But today we're talking about the Bible. Maybe today I started knowing him a little bit more. Maybe I start working on memory verses, right? That's how I apply it to my life. Maybe I start just by reading. Maybe I start by just praying a little bit. And I do it a little bit every day. Man, isn't that cool? To go a year from now, you don't have to say, I wish I would have. So here's what you do. You look forward a year now, and you say, what would I say in that position looking back? And then start today. Start today. But don't do six pages, double-sided, six-point font. It's one thing. One thing. Just one thing. Paul says that because of the fruit, because you applied everything, he says, I have not run in vain or useless or labored in vain, useless. And then verse 17, the last thing to do, the last work of your flesh, of your body, of yourself, is to be a poured out offering to God. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. So Paul is saying that I am offering my life for your faith. You get what he's saying? It's not about what I want to do. It's not about, you know, bettering myself. It's about what has the Lord called me to do. I am giving myself as a sacrifice for the calling of God. And Paul, being chained, not knowing his destiny, ultimately would lead to his death, said, if that's what it takes so that you believe, that's what it takes. And I'm willing to allow that to happen. He says, I will rejoice with you. Because at the end of the day, are they rejoicing because of Paul's sacrifice? Because of his obedience to his call? Yeah. Thank you, Paul, for sharing that with me. Because you shared that information with me. I applied it in my life. I now know Jesus better. Thank you for you being faithful. And Paul is like, yes, thank you for responding. We're both rejoicing. Isn't that cool? For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me, verse 18. He says, that's the most important thing. So church, we have work to do. We have work to do. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, you have been saved. He accomplished that. He upon the cross said, it is finished. Tetelestai. Paid in full. You are saved, washed by the blood of the Lamb, clothed with his righteousness. You are a citizen of heaven. Another opportunity for a... Amen. Awesome. Now you need to say, okay, am I living as such? Am I living as such? Paul gave us things to do today. Don't get overwhelmed. Maybe you just need to pick one. Maybe you need to say, you know what, I need to stop grumbling. Because if God has called you to do something, if God has called you to be in a time of abundance, amen. If God has called you in a time to be, hey, a little tight on the shoestrings, a little tight on the budget, maybe a little bit in want, amen. God has put you there. Are you complaining? You got a sickness, you got a whatever. Yeah, I know. Some of these things we bring on ourselves. But if God has allowed you to go into that, okay, Lord, what is it for me? You see, Paul's the ultimate example. He's chained, falsely accused. Is he grumbling? Is he grumbling in this letter? He's saying, I'm rejoicing. Rejoice. So church, if that hits you today, don't be like, yeah, but I refer you to verse 12. If you come to the back and go, yeah, but I'm going to say, I refer you to verse 12. Work out your own salvation. My heart, my goal, my calling is that you would know him more. That's it. And I give you the information. Now go apply. And we'll both be rejoicing together. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your word. It is the absolute truth. It is the foundation in which we stand. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill us overflowing with your Spirit right now. That you would continue to work out in us the things you have. And we're all individuals. We all have different things. But Lord, we look unto you as the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, today, I pray that the church joins me and says, here I am, ready, willing, and available. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And I'll do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May the Lord bless you today. May his face shine upon you. May his hand be upon you, guiding you, leading you. Because he will. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory, and it's in Jesus' name we say, amen.